Parashat Pekudei begins, these are the reckonings of the tabernacle, Eile Pekudei HaMishkan, the tabernacle of testimony, Mishkan HaEdus, which were reckoned at Moshe's bidding. The labor of the Levites was under the authority of Itamar, son of Aaron the Kohen. The question we'd like to focus in on, Yirtzeh Hashem, today is this expression of Mishkan HaEdus, that the Mishkan is called the Mishkan of testimony. What does it testify? What is the testimony about? So Rashi brings down source number 2, because the divine presence was upon it, the tabernacle testified that Hashem had forgiven the sin of the golden calf. The exact Hebrew in source number 3 is, Eitos l'Yisrael, Shevitir l'makadosh baruch hu ha'maisa egel, Sherei Yishra Shechina b'neha. So what's a Mishkan Eitos? It was Eitos. It was testimony that Hashem had forgiven Klal Yisrael for the sin of the golden calf, and now Hashem was resting His presence there. The Ibn Ezra, back in source number 2, the testimony refers to the tablets. The Mishkan had in them the Luchos HaEdos, the tablets of testimony, and therefore the whole Mishkan is referred to based on what was the most essential part, the Aron, which had in it the Luchos HaEdos. We take a look at Rashi, and Rashi is really based conceptually, the Medrash, in source number 5. The phrase Eile Pekudei, which introduces a summary of the holy work performed by the Israelites, comes in response to another phrase, Eile Elohecha Yisrael, this is your God, O Israel, when the people made the golden calf. The last sedra heralds the moral rehabilitation of the nation. In just a few months, they have been cleansed thanks to Moshe's intervention, and Exodus ends on one of the most glorious chapters of Jewish history. And in fact, Rav Munk goes on to say that really, Eile Pekudei HaMishkan, the word Pekudei, is a throwback to an earlier word, the same Shoresh, a Pakod Yivkot. Moshe Rabbeinu uses that as the magic phrase to redeem Klal Yisrael. The Pekida, the remembrance, has indeed happened, and the goal has indeed been achieved, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has Hashras HaShechina. This medrash that Rashi brings down, if we take a look at a moment toward the end of the shir, source 33, why does the Torah repeat the word Mishkan in this phrase? To understand the reason for the repetition, let's first discuss the words of the medrash. Hashem said to Moshe, "I shall make for a Mishkan, I shall dwell among them, so that all the nations shall know they have been forgiven for the sin of the golden calf." This is why it's called the Mishkan of testimony, for it bears witness for all the people of the world to the fact that Hashem dwells in their midst. The mitzvah of erecting the Mishkan is irrefutable evidence that Hashem forgave the Jewish nation for the sin of the golden calf. The question that we have, that we're going to deal with, the primary question, is the question of Rabbi Eliyahu Mizrahi, which is quoted in source number 3. The Kfar Kishu of Mefarshim, many of the Mefarshim ask, Madua einetinat luchota mishkachnios, etos Yisrael, shivit yom makarsh baruch hu, my sega. I would have thought that the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the second Luchos, right? The first Luchos, the first tablets, were smashed when they sit. The fact that Hashem gave us a second set of tablets, and they are called Luchos HaEdos, as we saw in the Ibn Ezra, the tablets of testimony, I would have assumed that would be a clear indication that Hashem had indeed forgiven them for the sin of the Chet HaEgel. Why is it that the Egel expiation is specifically with the Mishkan HaEtos, with the erection of the tabernacle? Why was that a sign that Hashem's Shechina was among Klal Yisrael? And a secondary question, which we will touch on, that Rav Druk brings in source number 4, is the language of Chazal is very interesting. It doesn't say that Hashem forgave, salach. He was mevater, he was viter, he overlooked. And we know, Chazal tell us, Kol ha'omer kadosh baruch hu vatranu, yivatrum chayav. Shenemar, hatzurf tanim pa'alo ki kod racham ishpat, im kein, ech aminu, shivitar kadosh baruch hu, my sega. We say that Hashem doesn't have vitor. Hashem doesn't show favorites, that he overlooks something out of favoritism. So how do we understand the fact that kadosh baruch hu overlooked the chet ha'egel? And in fact, continues Rav Druk, we know that in every generation, when we're punished, we're also punished for the Chet HaEgel. So Hashem really didn't overlook all of the sin of the Chet HaEgel. So how do we understand exactly what Rashi is saying? That will be a secondary question. Again, our focus, just to restate it, what was it about the Mishkan that was a symbol that Hashem forgave us? That was a symbol of Asheras Hashchina more than any other symbol, particularly that of the second set of Luchos. So, just to give a sense how there are many answers given to this question before we are going to develop in Eretz Hashem three levels, and I'll say at the outset, all three levels are a bit philosophical in construction, and in Eretz Hashem we will try to be able to take from each one of these philosophical constructs one small nugget that we can be able to, hopefully at least one small nugget that we'll be able to implement into our lives and see how this is indeed very relevant for our times at Hayom. So just to share two very brief ideas before we get into our major study, the Taz, the Turei Zahav, notes that the Eidos is something that Shayach B'davar Shubaru V'Galui Lakol. Eidos is something which is public. So while the Shtekin Luchos were something that was given to us, but was given to us privately, right? It wasn't even given in fanfare. The fact that Hashem's Shechina rested on the Mishkan, that was something that was done in front of everybody, right? As we just saw in the Medrash, that the Umos Olam, even the ancient of the world, Medrash Tanchuma says, saw the Hashras Hashchina, the Divine Presence. So because this was something so public, that is why this is the forgiveness, the Kapara for Cheta Egel, and not the Luchos, which were in private. A second approach is the answer of the Reim himself in source number 6 that Shnayim Mikra brings. Shein Raya Minitina Saluchos. It's not a proof from the fact that we got the second Luchos that Hashem forgave us. Shareyaf im lohayanim chalavavon hayim makablim et Luchos Hashnios. Even if Hashem had not fully forgiven our sin, He would have still given us the second Luchos, because we know that even though Klal Yisrael sins, we are never completely banished from Hashem, and Hashem would have still given us the second Luchos. That doesn't mean to say that Hashem would have forgiven us. It just means we would have had the second set of tablets. The fact that Hashem forgave us is only seen clearly in the Hashras Hashchina and the Divine Presence coming down by the Mishkan. So again, our question, what is it about the Mishkan that is so powerful? So the first approach, which really has two aspects to it, is found in the Sefer Lev Tahor of Avigdor Parnas. And he notes the following. The Medrash, the beginning of Parshas Truma, a very famous Medrash, is that Shekash Baruch Hu Yishrashkin Atal B'Toch Yisrael B'Ikvot Netina Tatara. Keino Yachol Yifro Shemena. Why did Hashem want a Mishkan? Because Hashem gave us the Torah. And Hashem said, you know, here I'm giving you my Torah, something special to me. How can I separate from it? You know what? I'll make a Mishkan, and that way I'll be near the Torah at all times. And in fact, we know that the Sanhedrin, which was the place where Torah emanated from, Kimitzion Teitzei Torah, was one of the Lishkos, was one of the chambers in the Beis HaMikdash. The Torah and the Beis HaMikdash are intertwined. And this is like a king with only one daughter, and the daughter gets married. He says, how can I separate from my daughter? I'll make a little house by where the queen my daughter lives, and that way I'll always be with her. So explains Rav Parnas the following. We know, based on the Bach and the Or HaChaim, that there's a different bracha that we say when you see a wise person from Klal Yisrael, Gadol Hador, and you see a very smart person from the Umos Olam, or a Nobel Prize winner. So for a Gadol Hador, you say the bracha, Shechalak Mechachmato L'Basav Adam. Then Hashem, Chalak Mechachmato, He took a section from His wisdom and gave it over to man. By the Umos HaOlam, by the nations, you use the language Baruch Shenatan. Praise is the one who gave. By the Umos HaOlam, by the nations, it's an external giving. By Akash Baruch Hu, Gadol Ador, it's Chalak Bechachmato. They mamish have an intimate relationship, Kivyachol with Hashem, that Hashem has taken a part of Him, a part of Torah, a part of the essence, and given it over to this person. So this was clearly seen when the first Luchos were given. They felt the Atzmuto, Hichachmas HaTorah, Panim Al Panim. They felt Hashem giving it over. The question was, in the second Luchos, which was totally in private, no one was allowed on the mountain. No one even saw the second Luchos being given. The question was, did Hashem have the same feeling of closeness to us as if Shechalak Mechachmaso in the second set of tablets or not? We don't know. We don't see that public level of intimacy. Therefore, when the Mishkan was built, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I am going to have my Shechina come down here for the schutz of the Torah that's connected with the Mishkan. So then we see that even the second Luchos, even the second tablets, was a reflection of Hashem's total closeness to Klal Yisrael, albeit that we didn't publicly experience it. So what is Ashras HaShechina about? It's about Hashem's love for Klal Yisrael, although we sin. He nevertheless is coming back, and is coming back with the same intensity of love as before we sinned with the Chet HaEgel. And that's what the Mishkan represents. The Mishkan, the second Luchos, were in private. No one knows what it was about. However, when Hashem came down and showed that Ashras HaShechina, divine providence, in the merit of the Torah, it was clearly understood that from HaKadosh Baruch Hu's perspective, He's coming down with the same intensity of love. However, the other side of the coin is that not only do we see Hashem's intensification of love, we see it also from the side of Klal Yisrael. The Lev Torah brings down, source number 9, this based on Sfasemes. How can we say, D'shayach lomar shevitir l'machet ha'ega? How can we say that Hashem was mevater, He overlooked? V'arein HaKadosh Baruch Hu v'atran? Hashem doesn't overlook. He may be marichaf, He may be slow to anger, but He doesn't overlook. So the brackets, Fasemis explained, Sheyesh gam alzeh mishpat. Ve'ish misha zocha b'din liyot v'atran kenegdo. There could be an aspect of, according to strict justice, Hashem will forgive a person. Shevaday achedo seroshim v'maisa adam, of b'nei Yisrael, asher ikar shorosh teyutam nivak b'bar yisparach, l'chein ein achet yacholin atek shorosh avatam l'shem yisparach. Albeit Klal Yisrael sin, but the essential part of Klal Yisrael, that part of Klal Yisrael that is connected to Ribbono Shel Olam, the part of Klal Yisrael that has that intense love, was never affected. It never sinned. And how do you see this? That when Klal Yisrael were asked to be mitnadev, to give all of these donations, they came en masse, right? And they came with their heart, the deepest slave. So when Klal Yisrael came, Hashem said, you know what? I see that the sin that they did was not an intrinsic sin. It was an extrinsic sin. Their nature, their core is the Divas Lev. Their core is love to me. So what the Ashras HaShechina and the Mishkan was about was a reflection, was a reaction to the fact that when Klal Yisrael came with all of this love, with all of these gifts that they had to say enough, this was a representation and indication that Klal Yisrael, by their essential nature, connects to Hashem. They love HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, from Hashem's perspective, He's coming down as if they never sinned. And from Klal Yisrael's perspective, they're also saying that the fact that we sinned wasn't who we are. We are, by nature, people who love the Ribbono Shel Olam. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw that this is who they are, and it was like a temporary lapse, but not an indication of the core of who they are, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you know what, I'll be din. I'm going to be mevater to them. I'm going to overlook what they've done. And that's why in the arrow intent, the Chet HaEgel did not affect the intrinsic beauty of Klal Yisrael. Their lofty soul left them for that short period of time, but remained in their sense of beauty up in heaven, because the sin cannot reach this particular place. And when the Ashras HaShechina came down, that is the idea that this was an expiation for the Chet HaEgel, in terms of making a declaration and making a clear point that the fact that we sinned was not essentially us. It was an external part of us. Yes, you have to pay the consequences. And yes, there's punishment, no doubt about it. But understand that the fact that Hashem came down with Ashras HaShechina, in the Pasuk, the Sfasemes quotes over and over again. It's Pasuk from Hosea Yudalit. Ohavem nedava, I will love them freely. I will love them, the Farshim say, based on the original love. I will not look at that lapse in the relationship as if it never happened. That is the Eidos. That's a testimony that Hashem loves us, and He's not taking that little blip in history as an indication of the core of who Klal Yisrael is. And as the Meroshe Sharim Rav Reis points out in source number 11, again based in the Sof Semes, El Shema Kamas HaMishkan Nitanayan Lomo Shagam Lifnei Kamat HaMishpat Chatam Shal Yisrael Pagam Rak Rivadim HaChitzoniim Shalahem Ve'ilu Pnimiyatam Af Pam Lo Nifgama, their inner core has never been affected. Garina Tov Shisrael Nishar Tahor Beino Gam Kasher Natu Achrei Egel. And this Tara Pnimis, this inner part, remained constant with Kala Yisrael. And therefore he notes in Source 12, Yisod Advarim Hu Banachash Shechina Sheshar Tav Mishkan. This Shechina that rests in Kala Yisrael by the Mishkan, it's a Shechina that rests in each and every one of us. It's the description of the Pasuk of Mayim Rabim Lo Yechulu Lechabot Tahava Naro Lo Yishtafua. No water can be able to put out this flame of love that Kala Yisrael have for Kadosh Baruch Hu. And no, knows the Sfas Emes, Ki Eidu Zu Lo Nistayma'az, this testimony that Hashem comes down and shows this enormous love to us doesn't end even when the Mishkan of Beis HaMikdash are destroyed. Elo Mamshicha La'ir B'Yisrael B'chol HaDoros, this love is found in all generations. Kenu Eidus L'chol HaDoros, says the Sfas Emes, Hagam She'aranu Yirida Achar Yirida, even though we went down level after level. We all have this point of love to Hashem Yisbarach. And therefore, this relationship, this love, this connection is an everlasting connection. And even in the time, he continues, when we don't have a physical Beis HaMikdash, we don't have that place of connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we still have the ability to connect. We still have the ability to realize that there is Ashras Hashchina, there's a divine presence. And our challenge and our job is to be able to access it. So how do we do this? I don't have a Mishkan today. So what am I supposed to do? So the Tosha Rebbe, picking up on this idea in Avodah Avodah, notes the following. He says, and this is really an axiom, when there's Hashras Hashchina, when you feel the divine presence, when the divine presence is around in this world, Yishtikun Ba'olam, then there's room to fix, there's room to build, there's room for growth. And if, God forbid, there is no Hashras Hashchina, you don't feel it, you don't sense it, then Yesh Chorban Ba'olam, then you have destruction in this world. And he brings a very fascinating idea, and he says, 15, V'gam Ka'yom Hazeh, Mash Yesh B'nei Yisrael Kiyum B'golos, Himikosh Hashras Hashchina Ha'mir B'makom HaMikdash. Today, we don't have the Beit HaMikdash. How do we still have a Kiyum? A ability for Klal Yisrael to exist. He says, albeit we don't have that intensity of Hashras Hashchina like we have when the Beit HaMikdash was around, but we still have the Roshem, the impression of Hashem Shechina in this world that we can access and build upon. And he brings a very beautiful idea from the Yismach Moshe, who says, Mefarshim asked, what was the point of having a Mishkan or Beis HaMikdash if Hashem was just going to destroy it? Okay, it was very nice when it was there for 410 years, 420 years, that's very nice. But that is only less than 1,000 years. Like, what about the rest of history? So he says, Kitachlis in the arrow, in the bracket 15, Kitachlis Mikdash HaRishon V'Hasheni Aita. The purpose of the first and second Beis HaMikdash were it wasn't only for the time that the Beis HaMikdash was around. It was for the impression, it was for the energy that was left in that place even after the Beis HaMikdash was taken away. As Chazal tells us in Medrash Shmos Rabbah, Ma'olam lo zaza shchina mikol tam aravi. Hashem's shchina, Hashem's divine providence never left the Western world. And that enables us to stay in Golos. In the language of Yismach Moshe. Now, if we understand that even though it's not there in its intensity, as it was when the Beit HaMikdash was there, you still have the Roshem, the impression. Is there any wonder why Harabayis is so volatile, such a challenging place? Because the Shechina is there. It's the presence of Hashem. It's not such a postured place. So how do we access this? He says in 16, and this is going to be the first nugget for our lives. V'chein b'chol adam b'prat shu olam katan. We know that everything that exists in the outer world exists in the inner world. The world is an olam gadol, and a big world, and we are an olam katan, a little world. Kiyumo v'chayuto hi ashras ha-shchina shibirkabo. Just like the whole world is resting on that impression of ashras ha-shchina, divine presence, from the place of where the base of English was, we too live our lives from the impression, from the sense of ashras ha-shchina. U'kmo shekatuv kama pa'amim b'sefer tukene zohar ha-kadosh, ki etzai karid ha'ach lamshich yishua l'bar Yisrael, ha'idei shamshichim alav ashras ha-shchina. How do we bring down Yeshua in our lives, salvation? It's by bringing upon us Hashras Hashchina. Because when you have the divine presence on you, then everything turns to the good. It's a Gevaldic idea, second paragraph in 16. Let's go home with this idea as one of our ideas for today. These are the Pikudei HaMishkan. Pikudei, from the language of Hashem, Pakad, Etzara, to remember, to account. V'zeu Eila Pikudei. And Hashem remembered Sarah to remember her for the good, to grant her her request. When a person needs lipake bidvar Yeshua, a person needs to be remembered for the good. They need parnasa, they need children, they need a shidduch, whatever they need, they need refuah. Ha'eta lezeh ha-mishkan, double underline, the answer is ha-mishkan. She'amshich al-tzmo ashras ha-shchina, bring upon yourself the ashras ha-shchina, divine presence. De'memakom she'yesh ashras ha-shchina, nimshachim kol minei yeshuas. Where you have ashras ha-shchina, there you have all types of salvation. V'katvu b'sfarim ha-kadoshim kama etzos. Well, how do you bring ashras ha-shchina on you? So he brings down two. One is sheye sharui tamid b'simcha, to always be. Now b'simcha here, very appropriate for the Adar theme. It's not to be with you know this happiness that we call jovial type of happiness. No. Kamo shavu chazal neshchina shorah lo mitoch atzvos lo mitoch atzvos lo mitoch dvar simcha shel mitzvah. Simcha is shleimus, it's wholeness, it's connection, it's being at one with, it's being at peace with. Ki atzvus umarashchora ba'o mitoch gafus halev. Here's the depth. Why are people not happy? Why are people not b'shleimus? Why do people feel the sense of wholeness? It's because people think, well, magiyale, I deserve this, I deserve that. Well, if I only had this, I'd be happy. If I only had that, I'd be happy. You know, they have this and they have that. And it's not fair. You know what they got? You know what Hashem's given them? And yet, so I'm never happy. Where's this all coming from, my friends? He says it's coming from a place of gavus halev. It's coming from arrogance. Like, you deserve to have all of this. And since you deserve to have this, and if you don't get it, then there's something, it's really not fair. Whoa! And who said you deserve this? And who said you're God's gift to the world? When a person has, you see the whole picture here, when a person has shiflus haruach, when a person has the ability to be shafel, humble, with humility, and be able to say, I really deserve nothing. And Hashem, whatever you give me is more than I deserve. And thank you, Hashem, for everything. Hashem, we know, doesn't rest, right, with a person who's gav lev, who's haughty. Hashem says, you and I can't live in the same place. It's just not going to work. But a person has shiflus halev, a person who has humility, Hashem says, this is a place that Hashem rests on, eshkon et dekav eshval ruach. Pasuk Yishaya, Hashem rests on those who are humble, those who are lowly of spirit. You have to have all of this subordination, and then you'll be able to be mamshich, the kedusha on you, and you'll be able to have this hashras of shchina. Then you'll be able to bring the yeshuas like the time of the mikdash. I think a similar idea to this, I think very aligned, is an idea that I saw in many, many of the different svarim very recently, is that we normally think that, I have a problem, whatever the problem may be, and the list is, obviously very long. So I'm just going to pour out my heart to Hashem. Hashem, please give me. Hashem, please give me. Hashem, please give me. Hashem, please give me. And that's what we're used to doing. And Hashem, obviously, is, you know, Karov Hashem l'chol karov, l'chol shir grub emes, you've got a line of truth. Hashem is going to respond. However, there's another way. And I think this is the way that the Tesha Rebbe Zatzal is alluding to. And that's not a way of saying, give me, give me, give me, because give me has this aspect of, I deserve it. Now, truth be told, as my friend, if we take a hard look at ourselves, do we really deserve it? Well, just take a look at the day, whatever hour of the day it is. It might be 10 in the morning by you. How many mitzvos and averus have you done between waking up and now? Well, if you've daven, there may be a lot of shem shemayim levatelos. Go through every bracha you've just said, right? And all the interaction you've had with people. It's only 10 in the morning, right? Maybe I'm not even throwing in lashon hara here. I'm not even talking about other things that... This is the reality. Do we deserve anything? No. So another approach is to turn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu with a whole different aspect. And just to say, thank you. Thank you, Hashem, for this. Thank you, Hashem, for that. Thank you, Hashem, you've given me, you've given me, you've given me. I don't deserve any of this. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And after thanking Hashem, you say, Hashem, you've done me so many things. And I appreciate everything you've done for me. This is also something that I feel I could use. But not from a place of, I deserve it. From a place of real gratitude. That I don't deserve everything you've given me. And then to add this request, it's coming from a whole different vantage point. It's coming from a place of simcha. It's coming from a place of wholeness. Not of what I am missing. Not of what I'm missing, but what I could use. Of what I could be able to really appreciate in my life. Because everything you've given me is really a tremendous bracha. There's a maisa that I saw, just to distill down the core of the maisa, of a person who heard this vort. And shortly afterwards had this terrible, sudden eye pain and wasn't able to see out of one of their eyes and didn't really understand what was going on. And the eye doctor said, this is very serious. You know, low lady may lose your vision. There's only one person who can help you. And this person is in America. So flies off to America, meets with this eye doctor, whatever, gets in. And the eye doctor says, you know what, it's just too dangerous a surgery. I'm not going to be able to do it. There's nothing I can do. And he comes home and he's like completely devastated. Like, now what? This was my only hope. So he remembered this vort that he had just heard. And he went into the Beis Medrash, went into the shul, and he opened the Aron Kodesh and he started crying. And he said, not out of wanting, but out of Hashem, you have done so much for me. I've deserved nothing you've given me. And for like over an hour, he's just thanking Hashem. Hashem, you've given me a wife and children and a house and this and that. Listing and thank you, Hashem. I deserve none of this, none of this, none of this. Hashem, this is all that you've given me. It's so beautiful. I can't even thank you enough. I appreciate everything you've given me. Kadosh Baruch Hu, if I can just ask you, I should also have my vision as well. And he was supposed to schedule to go back soon after, back to Eretz Yisrael. And he called the eye doctor. He says, can you please just check my eye one more time before I go back? This is my last hope. And the guy said, no, I checked it, blah, blah, blah. I'm not checking it again. Please, please. Nudged him enough. He says, okay, just come in before your flight. I'll check it one more time just to make you happy. He checks. He says, I don't know what happened. I can do the operation. We can do it right away. And you'll be totally cured. There's something shifted in your eye. And it's curable. It was so clear. Right? So you're right. So most of us don't see revelation, what we call eye to eye, so quickly. And but we have to be good pupils and learn this lesson. And that lesson is clearly that the way to be able, not in a way of manipulation, chas v'shalom, but in an emistical way of how do we able to turn to the Ribbono Shel Olam, we turn to Ribbono Shel Olam b'simcha. Not with atzvos, you know that, no. Thank you, Hashem. Thank you for everything. The second approach of how we can access the Kadosh Baruch Hu is source 18. And that is, Od Eitza, Itim Sfar Mekadoshim, Heach Yizkeh Adam Lamshich Al Tzvo, Hashras Hashchina, Aidei Shi Yidbak Nafsho Bekadushas HaShabbos. By clinging to Shabbos, we know that Shabbos is Makor HaBracha. That Shabbos is the source of blessing. And when a person is connects to Kedusha, to Shabbos, he's able to connect to the Or HaShechina, to the revelation of God's presence. VaShechina Motzo Bo Dira Noh, Manoh Kaf Ragla. And the Shechina is able to rest upon such a person. And we know when you have Ashras Ashrina, Nimshachim Rachamim V'Chasadim Ve'Ein Shum Ra Shalei Cham, and there is no evil that will be found there. So, my friends, when we're talking about that, what was the greatness of the Mishkan? The Mishkan was a place of Ashras Hashchina. The Mishkan was a place where the Divine Presence rested. And it came from two aspects. Where Hashem showed His love by resting in the Mishkan. That this is where His Torah is and this is where His presence is. And from Klal Yisrael, this is where we want to be. This is who intrinsically we are. That the sin was just a lapse in the larger picture of our love, of our connection. And that if we have the ability to bring down Ashras Hashchina, we're able to tap into that aspect of Hashem's presence in this world. We're in a place of binyan, we're in a place of building, we're in a place of bracha, we're in a place of blessing. Two ways to do this, out of many, obviously, Limud HaTorah, many ways. One is to always be thankful. You know, how are things? Things could be better. We know the Chafetz Chaim, when someone said that to him, says, you're wrong. If things could have been better, they would be better. Things are exactly the way Hashem wants them to be. And to walk around with that smile, to say, yes, the outer affects the inner. Hodu Hashem, thank you Hashem for everything that I have. Just to be appreciative of all that we have. And then say, you know, I could also use, but it's not coming from a place of complaining. It's coming from a place of acknowledgement. Shabbos, to live Shabbos. The Shabbos and the Korah Bracha, and to make for ourselves some small Kabbalah, really small, that we can do and build on that Kabbalah to make our Shabbos a little bit more meaningful. We've spoken about so many ideas over the past. Right after Lich Benching, to sit by the Neiros and say Tehillim. Right after Lich Benching, to learn something from the Parsha or learn something with your family. To have at your meal a Sefer that you learn. To make sure to have Zmiros, three Zmiros at every meal. Not to speak Lashon Hara. Maybe if that's too much, not to speak Lashon Hara between Kiddush and the soup. Or Kiddush and the first, you know, chicken. Whatever it is, two courses. I have to be so careful that those two courses will be able to serve, you know, skip over in the fish and the soup. No Lashon Hara. And by the chicken, we can let down our guard. The answer then isn't not to be chicken and just go straight to the chicken. No, that's a little bit fishy. No, okay. Just to end this first level. The Drash Mordechai notes from Rav Yitzchak Kuttner Zatzal the following, that in Matan Torah there were two aspects. You had the aspect of Hashem chose us as a nation to be the Am Segula, the special nation, and you have also the Etzem HaTorah, the giving of the Torah. So when a person sins, one is really sitting on two levels. There is a Pegiyah B'Tzivui Torah, Shupagam Matan Torah. It's affecting the Torah itself that was given kivyachol. And then there's the pagam and the fact that we're the Am Segula, that it affects our relationship with Hashem. So when a person sins, it's really two aspects. It's the relationship that's affected and the act itself that was done. So he says, when it says, on the chayt itself, Amruch Hazal, Omer Kosh Baruch Hu, Vatrayni, Vatrucha, Chayav, HaChayt Etzmo Lo Nitan LeVitur, L'Chein Ein Lecha Pekuda, She'en Ba Pekuda HaTegel. The sin itself of Chayt HaEgel, Hashem never forgave. That's why every generation is still affected by it. And that's right, there is no Vitur. But what was Hashem Mevater on? It doesn't say that he was Mevater on Avon HaEgel, the sin of the golden calf. It was a Maisa HaEgel, the act of the golden calf. The act which affected the Kirvas Hashem. So there were two aspects, says Rav Hunder Tzatzal. There was an aspect of the sin itself that Hashem has, every generation we're still suffering. Then the Maisa, the act which affected our relationship with Hashem, that Hashem was able to overlook, and that's the Ashras Hashchina, the Divine Presence coming down on the Mishkan, shows that the relationship Hashem is ready to restore. So my friends, that's aspect number one, philosophical idea number one. The Mishkan represents, from both sides, this aspect of love and connection. Idea number two, Rav Chaim Friedlander Zatzal, Siftei Chaim, verse 20. He says, Madu nikra Mishkan, Mishkan Eidos. Why is it called the testimony? What is it testifying to? It says, Ashras Hashchina b'Yisrael, hi ha-ri'iyah ha-madrega shleimutam shalam Yisrael. It's showing the high level of Klal Yisrael, Hashchina ina yechola lasrod amakom sheino shalim. Shchina cannot come down on something that's not whole. Vekevan shashchina sharta b'Yisrael, siman sha'am Yisrael v'shleimus. The fact that the Shchina came down means that the entire Am Yisrael is one unit. Alaf shechatu be'egel. Nevertheless, even though they sinned in the egel, the Shchina came down. And here's the key. Hashchina shara alam Yisrael k'shem b'shleimus v'lo yechidim. Hashras the Shchina, when Hashem comes down en masse to show his presence, it comes down as a group. Hakesher shokol yochi v'yochi nimashchina hu derech avodas Am Yisrael. And how does each individual access this Shchina? Through connecting ourselves to Am Yisrael. Ukefi kamashu shayach al haklal kechelik of Am Yisrael. To the extent that we find ourselves as part of Am Yisrael, yeshul shayishchud lashras Shchina of Am Yisrael, then you have that part of being able to access the Shchina of Klal Yisrael. And that you see by the Mishkan itself. The Avnei HaMishkan, the sockets of the Mishkan, which were the basis of the Mishkan, were made from the half a shekel, from those silver coins, which Everon gave, right? Shabbos Parsha Shkolin last week, Everon donated. And in fact, the Ikar Avodas HaMishkan is the Avodah of Sibur. Although there were individual korbanos, most of the korbanos that were brought was the Avodah of the Sibur. And he describes in Source 21, how HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ava Rabba Avtanu, Hashem with tremendous love loved us, and even though that we sinned, Af Na'im, even though we've done the Egel and the bracket in 21, Af Alpike Na'im Ata Lanu, Hashem was very pleasant to us. Shemachalta Lanu Vashpata Lanu Rav Tuv, and Hashem forgave us and gave us a lot of goodness. V'natata Lanu Taluchos Shneos, and Hashem gave us the second Luchos. V'od Yoter Af Arsenu Ranana. And not only that, he gave us the Mishkan and Ashras Hashchina. Hashchina yichola lashrot b'leiv kol achad ve'achad. Rak sarich shiyem makom shekulam mitkantzim yachad. Yes, the Shchina can be in each and every one of us. It is coming from the source. It's almost like, you know, the power plant. And then everyone can draw the electricity, you know, in their own wires through their home, but you have to have one power plant that's going to be the source of all the electricity. That power plant, that source that Klal Yisrael could draw, that energy, that electricity, that connection to Hashem, was the Mishkan. And indeed, my friends, this idea that Kadosh Baruch Hu interacts with us on the level of Tzibur, not on the level of Yochi, we see notes of Chaim Shulovitz that's out in Sichos Musar, Source 22. He says, Torah was not given to the individual. 9,600,000 individuals. Torah was given only to a single unified nation. And that's why they had to be whole before they were able to have the Torah. The saying of our sages leads an insight to the fact that Kabbalah, the Torah, receiving of the Torah, was not realized in its full sense until almost a millennium later, during the spiritual renaissance that accompanied the events of Purim. Chazal portrayed the Kabbalah of Torah as Sinai as involuntary, and the reacceptance of Torah on Purim as being with alacrity, indicating that the reacceptance on Torah on Purim was of a more profound nature. What brought about this deepened commitment? The solution is to be found in the fact that Jewish people at the time of Purim in the bracket in 22 were totally united. Haman's decree of genocide, to massacre, kill, and destroy all the Jews, united the Jewish people as never before. In times of danger, petty quarrels and personal grudges disappear, and people focus their concerns on the welfare of the community, not on the personal differences. Therefore, the events of Purim led to a kind of genuine unity, and hence Israel was able to receive the Torah in its deepest and fullest sense. With this, we can understand the statement that Rizal Yom Kippur is a day comparable to Purim, Yom Kippurim, with the implication that Purim is greater than the two. Purim, people cleanse themselves, they're akin to angel. They rise above the shortcomings of hatred and animosity and jealousy. But Purim brings people together through charity, joy, and festivity, and therefore surpasses Yom Kippur. And this is something to keep in mind as we stand our Purim, is that one of the notions of Purim is Achdus, is this unity. And one of these aspects of unity is not just to create friendship and unity among people, overcome animosity and jealousy, that's for sure. It's a Kabbalah Satorah. It's being able to connect ourselves with Am Yisrael, because then the Kabbalah Satorah, the receiving of the Torah, which is the Ashras Hashchina, the Divine Presence, is felt on a much more palatable and real sense. The key is to be able to create this place of unity. So we ever, with this, we can understand a little bit deeply why we struggle with, you know, when is Mashiach coming? And, you know, we hear, Achdus, Achdus, unity, unity. That's the MS. When we're able to get along together, then we have one power plant. When we have one power plant, wow, it's of nuclear power. When you have all these smaller power plants, the level of the electricity that can be generated is far less. This is what it's about. It's about looking for Achdus. It's about looking for unity. And looking for unity begins, my friends, with being able to step outside of ourselves and seeing what the next person needs. Reb Chaim Shulevitz brings that famous Gemara that says, Sheker Achein, false is charm, refers to generation of Moshe and Yoshua, 23. Vehevel Hayofi refers to generation of Chizki, a God-fearing woman is praiseworthy. Isha Yirat Hashem Hiti Talal, this is a generation of Rabbi Yehuda b'Rabbi Eloi. What was special about that generation? When six students would cover themselves with one blanket. Let's ask ourselves. Six people cover themselves with one blanket. Can any one of them stay warm? The answer is that if each one pulls the blanket to himself, no one will be covered. But if each one pushes the blanket to his fellow to ensure that his friend is sufficiently covered, then all six of them will be warm. Chazal meant to emphasize a specific characteristic of concern for one's fellow. It's this single-minded devotion to the welfare of one's fellow that's truly belev echad, with one unit. That's the God-fearing generation. I just heard a story where Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach Zatzal, that Rav Fishel Schechter just recently gave over a few days ago in Eretz Yisrael. Very, very beautiful story. Rav Shlomo Zalman had an upstairs neighbor who, this woman lost her husband at relatively young. And the first Pesach after her husband had died, right before Leil HaSeder, right, Rav Shlomo Zalman had his hat and jacket on, ready to go out for Mincha, right, the night of Seder. She comes down with her maror and says, my husband usually checks my maror. My husband isn't here. I don't know if I check my maror well. I'm afraid there are bugs in my maror. Can you check my maror? So the people of Rav Shlomo Zalman's house are like, you know what, we have plenty of maror. We'll give you our maror. No, 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 can the Rav check my maror? And they're saying, like, you know, he's going to Mincha now. You know, I'll check your maror. Just leave it here. We'll check it. We'll bring it upstairs. No, no, no. So Shlomo Zalman hears this. He takes off his hat and jacket and says, sure, I'll check your maror. And they're saying, Mincha Shkia. Don't worry. I'll check your maror. And he sits and he goes through each piece of maror and he checks it. He says to her, it's fine. You can use this maror. And they said to him, Shkia, Mincha, Erev Pesach, Lil Seder, what are you checking your maror for? He says, you don't understand. She's not asking me to check her maror. What she's basically saying to me is, my life is bitter. My life is maror. My life is this bitter herbs. Check it for me. Help me. Hold me. And Rav Shlomo Zalman says, I can't bring her husband back, but at least I can say, I'm with you. Imo Anochi Betzara. I'm holding your maror. I'm with you. I'm telling you it's clean. I'm telling you to get through this. I'm giving you chizuk. And they said to themselves, do you really think that this woman really understood all this? And after Pesach, they said to her, what was going through your mind when Rav Shlomo Zalman checked your maror? And she said exactly this, that he was holding me through my pain and telling me, I'll get through my maror. It's okay, there are no bugs in my maror. Rabosai, how many people's marors can we check? How many people need us to hold them that we're so consumed in our own lives that we don't even realize what people are saying? It's not about checking their maror for bugs. It's about checking their maror in the inner throes of challenge and disability in life. This is what it means to push over the blanket to the next person. It's not about me and what my needs are. You want to know what brings Hashras, Hashchina, the divine presence down? What brings the divine presence down is when we are able to function as a unit. When Klal Yisrael came together to build that Mishkan, it wasn't each one building their own egel, as we spoke about last week. It was about collectively coming, the men on the women, they're all coming together. And they're each donating from their own generosity, and each one bringing a half a shekel. And it was a communal giving. It was a communal effort. It was that communal effort that Hashem said, this is the rectification of the sin of the ego, as we spoke about last week. Latava Yuvukash Nifrad, where everybody was into it for themselves, where everybody in 26 was about what's in it for me. Now in the Mishkan, it wasn't about what's in it for me, it was about what I can give. It was about being able to come as a joint effort. When Klal Yisrael came as a joint effort, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, you know what? I'm ready to have my Shekhinah come down. Just like Mamad Har Sinai, I'm ready for the Shekhinah to come down here. That is the rectification of the Chet HaEgel. The Chet HaEgel was about each one for their own. What can I get? My little ego. This is about communal needs. This is about for the whole Tzibur to be able to have Hashem's Shekhinah come down. And indeed, my friends, if you take a look at our davening in 28, we say, HaBocher Ba'amo Yisrael Ba'ava, that Hashem chooses Ba'amo Yisrael, His nation Israel. Ritzei Hashem Elokeinu, chapter 29, Ba'amcha Yisrael, U'tfilatam, Hashem, you should find favor in your nation Israel and in their tefillah. We daven in Sim Shalom. We say, Barchenu Avinu, Hashem, our Father, bless us. Kulanu ke'achad, all as one. Ba'or panecha, with the light of your shining countenance. Haros panim shel shemit barach. Shia kirva dola, that great kirva, that great closeness, that haros panim. Hashem kivyochul shining his face. Zochim rak shekulanu ke'achad, ichur alavavos, when we're all together. I was just making mention of one more idea that will be our second nugget, perhaps, to put in our pocket. If the first is Simcha, Shabbos, bringing down Ashras Ashrina, the second nugget is a very famous Chazal 31. Rabbi Chanina Bar Papa said, anyone who derives pleasures from this world without making a bracha, it's an extent of stealing from Hashem and stealing from his fellow Jew and a comrade to Ravim Ben Nevat. By neglecting to make the bracha, he not only withholds the expression of gratitude due to Hashem, he also causes the flow of abundance to be held from his fellow Jew. So from Chaim Friedlander based quotes the Maharal on this. This is 31 and 32. It says, Micha, I understand how you're stealing from God, but how are you stealing from Klal Yisrael if you eat without a bracha? And the basic upshot of the Maharal that Siftei Chaim brings down is this idea that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings down that sustenance, that goodness down into this world, he's bringing it down to the cloud, to the group. And then every individual is going to be able to take it from the cloud in order to be able to bring it back, in order to be able to use our lives to be an Eved Hashem in a collective sense. If I say a bracha on a food and I don't think about, if I don't say a bracha on a food, I just take it for myself, what I'm really saying is life is about for me. Life is about what can I get out of it. Life is about just taking. When I say a bracha, I'm making a statement. I'm realizing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave me this item. And why did He give me this item? In order to serve Him. What is one of the best ways to serve Him is to keep the concept in mind that I'm supposed to be a giver and not a taker. And the way, one of the best mediums to be a giver, and this we spoke about last week as well, is to join the group. Is to realize, right, I need to have my own individuality, but I need to take that individuality. If I'm only for myself, when am I? I need to take that individuality, and I need to be able to give it over to the seaport, but give it over to the needs of others, and not just be out for myself, what's good for myself, but to really think about other people. And it's in small ways, my friends. Every time I say a bracha, it's a recognition that it's not only about me. I recognize that the goodness Hashem gives me, He's giving me because I am part of a larger picture. Now when I live my life, look over my shoulder. Let me see how I can become of a larger picture. Look over my shoulder. Let me see how I can be helpful to the next person. It's not just about me. And it begins, my friends, with a smaller thing, which isn't so small, is that when you park, make sure you're between the two lines and you're not taking two parking spaces. When you park, pull up to the next car that somebody else can get in behind you. These are small things. Don't park in a handicap zone because someone who's handicapped really may need it. Small things, which means I'm thinking about another person. You're standing online, look behind you. Maybe somebody's holding their groceries and they don't have a cart. Look behind you. move over so that they can put their things down on the conveyor belt. That's what life is about. It's not only about me. It's about pushing that blanket over. It's about checking the mirror. So, my friends, idea number one, why is the Mishkan, the Ashras HaShchina, not the Luchos? Idea number one is that this was, the Luchos was in private. I don't know if really Hashem forgave us or not. He would have given it to us anyway. And the Luchos don't really show that love. It didn't come from the medieval slave. It didn't come from the people, you know, taking the initiative. Idea number one is the Mishkan is about the expression of love from above and from below. This is about how you bring Ashras HaShchina, tap into the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, tap into the goodness of Hashem, Simcha, and Shabbos. Imagine both. It's Gvaldik. The second aspect is Ashras HaShchina is specifically on the Klal. The Luchos had nothing to do with Klal Yisrael. They weren't even there, so to speak. It was Moshe Rabbeinu. The Mishkan was the Klal, and the Klal, the group, is what brings down the Ashras HaShchina. We have to recognize in our own lives that this is the goal. The goal is Be'or Panecha, Kulanu Ke'echad, with one group, being able to focus on being part of the Klal, participating what the Klal participates in, being involved in the communal aspects, recognizing that it's not just about me. How can I give to the Klal? How can I help others out on the global, on the national, and on the individual level by every parking spot, thinking about each and every person, making a bracha, recognizing that I'm here to be part of the larger group. The final idea, my friends, for today was so philosophical concept. Drash Navi, Rav David Hofstadter, source 34. Two consequences follow in the wake of every sin: the appropriate punishment and a fall from favor. Although words of repentance may effectively protect the penitent from punishment, they do not necessarily restore the erstwhile sinner to his former level of favor from which he had fallen. They cannot cleanse his soul of the spiritual filth with which his sin besmirched it. That can be accomplished only through concrete deeds that testify to change in attitude, deeds that bear witness to recreation of the erstwhile sinner as a new person. Thus, the Midrash interprets the verse in Tehillim, "Let this be written for a later generation," that teaches that Hashem welcomes and receives the penitent, and the created people will praise God. What does it mean, the created people? This means that Hashem will recreate them as new beings. This is the Midrash Vayikra Rabbah. Even after the sin of the golden calf and Israel's first national sin, the Jewish nation had been recreated as a new entity. Moreover, it's not just the Jewish nation that had been recreated anew. Here's the key. The entire world had to be renewed, because the entire world failed and became still in the aftermath of the sin of the golden calf. You know, the sin of the golden calf, Klai's world went back to the level of what the reached before the sin, and now the whole world came crashing down. As Mesil Shisharim chapter 1 notes, the consequence of sinner's misdeed, he ruins himself and he ruins the world along with him. If an individual can wreak such havoc, how much more damage was caused by the national sin of the golden calf? Therefore, it was necessary to create the entire world anew. We suggest this was the purpose of the mitzvah of building the Mishkan, and that's why it's repeated over and over again. It's a mini-building of the world. Chazal teaches us the construction of the Mishkan parallel to the creation of the world. The Midrash equates the first day creation, which Hashem stretched out the heavens like a curtain, Yiriyah, with the curtains that were stretched over the Mishkan to form its roof. You shall make curtains, Yiriyos of goat's hair. The firmament of the heavens created on the second day to separate the waters below the firmament from the waters above the firmament had the counterpart to the parochas, and separated the Kodesh of the Mishkan from the Kodesh Kedashim, etc. And here the Orgadayahu in 36 and 37 echoes with Rav David Hofstadter speaking about in 38. In truth, plumbing the depths of Chazal's comparison can lead to conclude that the construction of the Mishkan was not merely a symbolic parallel of 6 days of creation, rather it was renewed creation of the world. The Gemara in the Aaron 38 describes Betzalel, the master craftsman in charge of the Mishkan's construction. He was not just an ordinary artisan. Betzalel knew how to combine the letters with which heaven and earth were created. The Torah states that Hashem filled Betzalel with wisdom, chokhmah, understanding, tvuna, and knowledge das. And Shlomo Melech used parallel terminology to describe creation. He established the world, this is the Mishlei, with chokhmah. He founded the heavens with tvuna. And his das, the depths of the sea, were carved out. It's not by accident the same words are used. We find here that there is a recreation of Bria Sa'olam here. Thus, as stated earlier, the construction of the Mishkan included a renewed creation of the world, and as such, it was not merely an architectural accomplishment of a human artisan, but a divine act of creating the world anew. Another measure cited by Rashi in the end of our parsha drives this point home, that the Mishkan could have been erected only through a divine act and not by human hands alone. Moshe said to Hashem, "Ask the world, and I know how to erect it." Hashem replied, "You just put your hands to the task, and you will appear to be standing in its place, but in fact, I will stand it up on its own." Thus, the building of the Mishkan was not merely the construction of the physical edifice, it was a divine act, creation of heaven and earth. It could not have been done by the hands of man, but by the hands of Hashem. And now I understand. When it says, "Now the words of the Medrash are clear. The establishment of the Mishkan bears testimony to the fact that Hashem granted forgiveness to a Jewish nation for the sin of the golden calf. For the construction of the Mishkan rectified the world and elevated from the depths to which it had fallen in the wake of the sin of the golden calf. It was created anew. It was a new entity. It was like the day in which Hashem created heaven and earth. This was not true, my friends, by the Luchos. The Luchos, the second tablets, yes, was the second giving of the Torah. But it still didn't rectify the fact that there was such destruction that came in the wake of Chedekah. In fact, the second Luchos are a consequence of this. The first Luchos, they would have learned and not forgotten anything. The second Luchos, they learned and things were forgotten. So second Luchos still have that state of the broken world. How can we go back to a level where Hashem's Shechina, Hashem's divine presence, is once again going to rest in this world? And that destroyed world is going to, in some way, in a miniature fashion, be reconstructed? That's through the Mishkan. And understand that this is why we have four or five parshiyos of the Mishkan. We're not just building a physical structure here. We are rebuilding the world. And the same chokhmah, bina, and das that it took to build the world takes to build the Mishkan. The same understanding of the letters, of how to, you know, put together heaven and earth was what Bezalel needed to put the Mishkan together. And ultimately for Hashem to build it himself, it was impossible for human beings to do this. This is the ethos. And that's why it says Rav Gedalia Shur in the asterisk in 37, the Eidos, the testimony, is not just the place of testimony to testify that we were forgiven. It was a testimony about all of creation itself. That all of creation has been recreated in this miniature Beis HaMikdash, this miniature Mishkan. The Yavshah for our lives, my friends, as Rav writes to us in 41, is why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu create the world? We know, that there's a link between Hashem, the Torah, and Klal Yisrael. Our job is to take this construct called Bria Sa'olam and understand, Atem Adai, we are called in Pasuk Yishaya, Hashem's witnesses. We are here to be a witness and to a testimony to the fact that Hashem is a Borei Olam. And Olam, he says, is summarizing 41, is from the word Helem, concealment. We are here to say that a world which looks like Hashem is hidden, and that there's no, everything's random, and there's no order in this world, and no purpose in this world. We are the witnesses to say, no, there is order, there is a God, there is a Shras Hashchina, there is an Avoda, there is what is expected of us. Every time we link Torah and Hashem together, it's as if we are tapping into the recreated world. We are keeping the world alive. The Navi tells us that a moment that Torah isn't studied somewhere in the world, that's one of the reasons for the different time zones, the world would return back to Tohu and Vohu. We keep this world going. The Mishkan, which was a miniature of the world, was a place where we would do the Avodah, where we would serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu with this recognition and this understanding that we are here for a purpose. That was the ethos. That was the testimony. Today, when we don't have that Mishkan, we still have Tefillah. We still have Torah. We still have Chesed. We still have Al Shol Shadvarim Ha'olam Omed. We still have the three things that the world stands on. And that's our responsibility. When we're involved in Torah, we're involved in Tefillah, we're involved in Chesed, we're not just doing these acts. We have to understand that we are witnesses to the fact that we are keeping the world running. upon us that the world is predicated, and that these acts shouldn't be looked at as small, minor acts, but we should look at it as this is what's fueling the world. And to recall at all times, that Mesillas Yesharim, that one good act that we do is affecting not only us, but the entire world, and one sin on the other side affects the whole world. When we look at ourselves, when we look at the Shras Hashina on the Mishkan, we say, wow, a recreated world, that's amazing. We, in the outer world, have a little inner world within us, and every time that we enter into our Mishkan, Bilvavi Mishkan Evne, and I do an act emanating Rachman Ali Babai from my heart, Torah, Avoda, Chesed, whatever mitzvah it is, I am testifying to the fact Ribbono Olam, Hashem still exists, and I am actively involved in creating and maintaining and sustaining the world. Rabosai, very philosophical ideas, but whoa, what practical applications. Simcha, thank Hashem for everything. Shabbos, create a Shabbos environment, Mekor HaBracha. The cloud, tap ourselves into thinking about another person, not about just about ourselves. Look for those people whose needs are more checked. Look for those people who need to be warmed by our blankets. And finally, every act we do, we're testifying to the fact that Hashem created the world, Hashem sustains the world, and we are here as witnesses to this incredible reality.